Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's Wednesday night, y'all. Time that we set aside to go to God, to explore the word of God together in fellowship. The body of Christ partakers of the household of faith. And we are in position to hear what God is going to speak to us on tonight. I thank God, my Lord, my Master, my Savior, for giving us this opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join in to fellowship in God's word. This is the day that God has made, and we have to rejoice and be glad in it. As we approach the night hour, God has brought us all through the day. He's protected us from danger seen and unseen, and we could just say glory, hallelujah. I am grateful tonight, y'all. I'm grateful for everything that God has done, doing, and promised to do. And I'm grateful. At this time, the title of our lesson tonight, I add another little caption on to what you guys had received on the text message. And the text message said, Jesus is ready to face his destiny. And after thinking about it, I had to realize that Jesus was obedient unto God, even unto death. The scripture is coming from Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 39th through the 53rd verse. As always, it's an honor. And I don't take it lightly. God has established us, this prayer line, us, I say. No big eyes and no little U's. This is our Bible study he has given to us. And really and truly, it's been over 10 years at this point. And we haven't got tired yet. So I am grateful and thankful to God and to all of you. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And I was listening to the song, and my heart began to get full, reflecting on the lesson, Jesus fixing to walk into his destiny. And I said, if they had a choir that was singing as he was marching to be arrested, I believe that this would be a song that they would be able to sing that would uplift him. Because it is true. And I'm going to play the song at this time. And after that, we're going to go to God's throne of grace. Our program intercessor, Sister Pam, is on the line. And when the song is over, I'll open up her mic. And she can lead us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour, Jesus. You're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus. My hope and my future, Jesus. Source and my shelter, Jesus. You're my Savior. Keeper, my friend, Lord, I need you. that you have for me. Protect me from my enemies. I know that you will rescue me as I rest in you. You will keep me. You are Jesus. You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength.
Hallelujah. Jesus is all of that to us and so much more. And I thank him tonight in the title of the lesson, Jesus is ready to face his destiny. Glory, hallelujah. And at this time, we're going to have our prayer. If anyone would like to be added to the prayer line, you could press the one button on your phone at this time, and you could give the name, and our prayer warrior will include it with the names that we already have. Anyone have a prayer request for themselves or others or the condition around the world, people, places, or things? And I know that this is a praying time, and it's a praying season. There's never too much prayer. There's never not a time when prayers could be asked for and to be lifted up unto God. So if anyone would like to, anyone have a prayer request, you could press the one button on your phone and we'll include it. Well, if not, Sister Pam, your mic is open and I turn everything over to you at this time.
Thank you, Minister Diane. Good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for April the 6th, 2022. Anika Drew, Diane McBride and family, Azariah Hurd, Minister Paula Cloud, Vanessa Humphrey, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kasia, the Bridges family, Shanika Clark, Ayana, the William and Washington family, Genario Achilles, Bridget Jones and family, Jada Porter, Aiden, Mr. Dickey, Kalia Williams, Sharon, Shug, and the Robinson family, and our Wednesday night Bible study. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege to come together for another Wednesday night of Bible study. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night of April to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayers whose names was called on our prayer list, as well as those that's on the prayer line and on the phone and via internet tonight. Father God, we lift up each and every name to you, for only you can supply their every need. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be intercessors on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We know that you are an on-time God. We know that it's in your will, not our will, that your will be done. And it's in your timing and your way. Lord, whatever they be going through, we ask that you give them the strength, the knowledge, and the understanding to know that you are God and you are God by yourself. And whatever their needs may be, Lord Jesus, I just ask you to give them that strength to carry with them through their journey. My sisters and brothers, it's not what you're going through, but it's who you go through it with. And I pray that's Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for being our provider. We thank you, Lord, for being our savior. We thank you for being our healer. Lord, we thank you for being our Christ, the Lord. We thank you for grace and we thank you for mercy. But most of all, we thank you for your love. I pray this prayer and I thank you, O Lord Jesus. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In the sweet holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, and thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Sister Pam. And
you're
I
welcome.
Thank you so much for your faithfulness. You have been on the line constantly and offering up prayers on our behalf. I just want you to know that God honors faithfulness and you are letting God know that he can use you and it all going to work out together for the good. Trust him. Continue doing what God has put in your hand to the best of your ability. And I thank God for it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, it's time to go in the Word of God at this time. And I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. God knew we was going to be here on Wednesday, and I had just a little talk with Jesus. And I told him we would be in position, and we would come with a spirit of expectancy to hear what the Spirit had to say to us, to allow the Holy Spirit to give us illumination and revelation, which is the truth about God. I realize I can only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that gives the revelation and illumination, and the Holy Spirit connects the dots and transform and circumcise the heart. But we in position to receive. God never let us go home empty-handed. So if you came to be fed, he said, if you eat of his bread, which is the word, you'll never go hungry. And if you need a little drink, he said, if you drink of what he's offering you, you'll never go thirsty. And I believe it with my whole heart. So I'm going to say the title of the lesson again and the scriptures where it's coming from. And then We're going to explore on the Word of God together. The title of the lesson is, Jesus is ready to face his destiny. And I added a twist to it. I say Jesus was obedient to God, even unto death. That's the attitude we have to have. Because the race is not given to the swift but to the strong, but those who endure to the end. We have to hold on to the confession of our faith. We have to try our best to not to compromise the spirit with the flesh. We should never walk up on God, walk away from God, because God will never leave nor forsake us. And that's our hope. And that's our belief. So the lesson tonight, I always do a little intro on a subject that could tie into the lesson and make it all connect for us. Tonight I'm going to use and talk about, in the introduction or the background, the Last Supper. You see, the Last Supper is what we call the last meal Jesus ate with his disciples before his betrayal and arrest. It was more than Jesus' last meal. It was a Passover meal as well. You see, you got to understand what the Passover was. It's going to touch on it a little bit in here. But those who understand the Passover, connect it, because that was a part of what Jesus was doing. You see, one of the most important moments of the Last Supper is Jesus commanding us to remember what he was about to do on behalf of all mankind. He was ready to face his destiny. He knew he had to shed his blood on the cross, whereby paying the debt of our sins. It's in this same chapter where the scripture that we're going to expound off. Come on, when I sent the notice, I asked that you read the whole chapter. But through the grace of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit, we're going to walk it tonight. In addition to predicting his suffering and death for our salvation, Luke, same chapter 22, 15 and 16 verse, Jesus also used the Last Supper to the Passover. He was using the Last Supper to bring illumination to the Passover that had happened so long ago. And he's saying, I am the Passover. I am the Passover of the new generation. He was showing it with a new meaning. And he was saying, I'm the Passover. And I bring it in his package in a new covenant, establishing the ordinance for the church, and foretold Peter's denial and Judas Iscariot's betrayal. See, the Last Supper had all of these elements in it, and you got to really think about it. Jesus came into his ministry when he got baptized by John the Baptist. And we write around about 3 years later. But in that three times, that dash, come on now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he's going to die on the cross. But the time in between was his ministry, and that's a dash. Come on, y'all. The dash that Jesus, hallelujah, forming and performing was his miracles and teaching and preaching and, hallelujah, and showing us how we should treat one another, telling us and teaching us about the enemies that will come up against us, telling us all of these things. And at that supper, he was showing his omniscience, because he knew who would betray him, and he knew who would deny him. You see, the Last Supper brought the Old Testament observance of the Passover feast to its fulfillment. Passover was an especially holy event for the Jewish people, and that it commemorated the time, y'all remember, come with me now, when God spared them from the plague of physical death and brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Come on, y'all. He told them to take and kill a sacrificial lamb and take the blood and put it over the posts. And then what he told them to do with it, he said, eat it. Don't leave none left over. Look at what Jesus is saying when he came to fulfill and become the Passover lamb for us now. Jesus is going to be the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb that's going to be presented on our behalf. He's at the Last Supper, so he's telling them, look, you're going to eat the bread and you're going to drink the wine. Commemorating. You see, during the Last Supper with his apostles, Jesus took two symbolics associated with the Passover and infused them with fresh meaning as to why to remember his sacrifice. See, he wanted to establish us taking the Last Supper and as we call communion, but he wanted to know why, what it represented, and what he had done. You see, he wanted us to remember his sacrifice, which saved us from spiritual debt and delivered us from spiritual bondage. Didn't that happen in Exodus? If they had the blood over their doorpost, the dead angel passed over it, and their life was saved. And after that was done, he delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh. So they were saved from their bondage. You see, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, is my body given for you? Remember these things when you're taking communion, y'all. Don't let it just be a ritual. Don't let it be something that, you know, is just done because they say do it. Jesus say, remember me. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant was established by the blood of Jesus. So he said, when you take your communion and there's that bread and that wine, when you drink that wine or juice or whatever your church decides to use, he say, remember me because it represents my blood, hallelujah, which I poured out for you. That's in that same chapter, y'all. Jesus' words during the Last Supper about the unleavened bread and the cup echoed that he had said after he had fed the 5,000. You see, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he said stuff about eating and food and bread, because he took the bread and he gave it to the 5,000. He said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever come to me will never go hungry, and whoso believe in me shall never thirst. Even the feeding of the 5,000. You got to connect the dots, y'all. He said, I'm the living bread that come down from heaven. Also during the Last Supper, Jesus taught the principle of servanthood and forgiveness as he washed his disciples' feet. Servanthood and forgiveness. Jesus, this is Jesus' Last Supper. This is his last teaching, y'all. And he still humbled himself, washed his disciples' feet, servanthood, and forgiveness. Typically, the Passover meal was a family celebration. You remember each household had to take the lamb, and they wasn't supposed to get a lamb that they wouldn't be able to eat. And if all they had was a big lamb and a neighbor next door had a little family, the two families was to get together and eat that one lamb because there was none to be left over. So they did it as family. However, the Last Supper, the apostles was alone with Jesus. In that same verse, y'all, in that same chapter, which suggests that this particular meal was significant and showing us the meaning for the church, of which the apostles became the foundation. See, Jesus was gathering his family, the household of faith, the body of Christ. That's what it's symbolic of, y'all. Jesus has given us every aspect of the Passover that happened in the Old Testament. And you know, there was a feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And God gave a command that every year they would celebrate it. Hallelujah. Because of all of its the significance of it. But if you don't know, now you know. In Ephesians 2 and 20, it says, build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah, y'all. And while the Last Supper had implications for the Jews, it was designed for the church as well, plus the body of Christ. Today, the Lord's table is one of two ordinances observed by the church. We do communion, the believers in Christ, many religions. Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, is an audience that should be observed by the church. And the Last Supper was rooted in the Old Testament, even as it heralds in the New. You know, Jeremiah 31 and 31 promised a new covenant between God and Israel, in which God said, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. He said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Jeremiah, you come back with 31 and 33. And he said, Jesus made a direct reference to the New Testament during the Last Supper. Jesus was showing them how he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He gave the analogies of every step of the way that they did and how he came to fulfill it with what he was going to do. You see, if it was good for the Old Testament, it was good for the New Testament. They had a sacrificial lamb to save the people. Jesus in the New Testament became the sacrificial lamb to save us. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Same chapter, 20 verse. You see, a new dispensation was on the horizon. You see, in God's grace, the New Testament applied to more than Israel. You see, Israel was the chosen people back then. And we know that everything was wide open for the Gentiles. A Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. And it was open up, so it's for me, and it's for you. See, it was applied, the new covenant, the grace of God, is for more than Israel. It's for everyone who has faith in Christ that they will be saved. Today, the Lord's Supper is when Christians should reflect upon Christ's perfect sacrifice, and knowing that through our faith and receiving him, we will be with him forever. Glory, hallelujah. And as we looked at the Last Supper, and it happened, when Jesus got up from the Last Supper, which was his last teaching, come on, y'all, he's now ready to face his destiny. The hour had come for such a time like that. Jesus knew the timing of God. And it's now time for him to face his destiny. So Jesus got up from the Last Supper. And his disciples followed him. And that's where I'm starting the scriptures today. Verse 39. And when he came out and went, he was wrought to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone away and kneeled down and prayed. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, Jesus had just finished the Last Supper where he lets them know that he let them know that would be the last time he would eat with them until he's in the kingdom of God. You see, this lets us know that nothing can take Jesus by surprise. Jesus knew the writings of the prophets, and he knew every dot and tittle in the law. And that's why he said he didn't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. They needed a sacrificial lamb to save us, y'all. Just like they needed a sacrificial lamb to save the Israelites in the book of Exodus. Jesus said, I didn't throw that away. And plenty of people get hung up when they said, you know, we're not under the law. But the things that are put in place, sin came in. And we inherit a sin nature. And we all were destined to die. We could not save ourselves, no matter how we tried. You couldn't hallelujah enough. You couldn't read and study enough. You couldn't give enough. So, to take away the sins, there had to be a sacrifice, which was a law established in the Old Testament. See, he didn't abolish that. He came to fulfill it. And to fulfill it, he had to get ready to face his destiny. You see, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the lower slope of Mount Olives. So I want you know, so much happened at Mount Olives. And the Garden of Gethsemane was right a little bit over from there. You see, the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus often prayed. I'm going to show you this. That's how Judas knew where to find him. Come on, y'all. I could tell you tonight that people watch you and know your pattern, good or bad. And they sometimes use it for their advance, or they could use it against you. You know somebody with a pattern. You know where they're going to be, when, where, and how, and could kind of figure it out. See, Jesus often prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even though Judas was going to betray him, he had walked with God in that ministry period. And he knew of him. Come on, y'all, I got to say he knew of him. Because if he really knew who he was, he wouldn't have did what he did. But he knew Jesus was a praying man. And at this time, after doing the Last Supper, that Jesus would probably go pray and he would be in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, he knew where to bring the enemy to Jesus. Verse 42 saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And Jesus go on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see, Jesus knew what he was facing, and yet he was willing, able, and ready to do the will of his Father. He was going to be handled as a criminal, even though he didn't do anything wrong. He knew he would be shamed and beaten and then crucified. More than that, all of our sins he would have to take upon himself. You see, Jesus was human and could feel all of the pain and suffering just like us. You see, the greatest weight upon Jesus was the knowledge that he would soon bear the terrible trauma of taking guilt for all of our sins upon him. My sins and yours. You see, in summary, the sins of every human being fell on Jesus in the sense that he suffered as if he was guilty of every sin and every sinner in the world. But I got to stop there because sometimes people will say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Yes, that's true. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But the scripture goes on to say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever accept him will be saved and shall not perish. So God, Jesus died, let's get this, for the sins of the world, all the sins the world has to produce. The world don't produce sin. People produce sin because they live in a flesh suit, and flesh is where the sin dwells. So when Jesus died, when Jesus died and took away the sins of the whole world and everybody in it have an opportunity to accept Christ and have their sins forgiven, but not all will accept him. So Jesus just didn't die and wipe all of the sins away. No, that didn't happen. But he made a way for anybody to accept him, that he would take on the punishment that they deserved. The Holy Scriptures tell us that Jesus knew no sin. He was holy and perfect. And he knew that under the weight of sin, he and his Father would be separated because God can't dwell within sin. And he was feeling as if the Father had forsaken him, and thus he endured a form of guilt. You know when you're doing something wrong, how guilty you feel? Jesus, taking on our sins, began to feel guilt, gave him sorrow for lost sinners. He knew how it felt to be living and dwelling in sin, and how you was guilty, ducking, diving, hiding, and conniving and he felt sorrow for the sinners. You see, when he asked for the cup to be removed, not that he wasn't ready to face his destiny, but prayed for strength to endure. Come on, y'all. What the scripture say, Lord, don't move the mountain, but give me the strength to climb. Because, God's will had to be done. God sent an angel at the proper time and strengthened him. And that's what God does for us when we're at the end of our rope. We should never be at the end of our hope because God is not through with us yet. You see, Luke is the only gospel writer to mention the blood sweat. You know, we have four gospels. Three of them are synoptics gospels. John is not. And many of the gospels, because it's the story being told from their opinions, many gospels have the same events, the same miracles, the same wording of Jesus, while others, it may not be listed in others. So the reference to the block dropping of the blood is only listed in Luke. And, God is so amazing. He just makes me smile because, you see, Luke was not a disciple. Luke was a physician. But God allowed him to pen this book of Luke as well as, hallelujah, y'all, as well as the book of Acts in the Bible. So Luke is coming from a physician's background and how he described the agony and the sweat as if it was drops of blood. He used it to describe the intense spiritual agony Jesus was suffering. As powerful as Jesus was, he could have easily avoided all of this and simply disappeared. And we know that the nails could not hold him to the cross. He said, they cannot take my life. I give my life for you and for me. You see, scripture said they couldn't take his life. He surrendered it. Rather, he was willing and chose to genuinely be wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities so that he could truly pay for our sins and suffer a human death. Since he was saving mankind, human beings, he had to be in the form of a human. God allowed himself to come and be wrapped in flesh in the form of his son so he could be sacrificed for all mankind. Verse 45, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, hallelujah, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He had told them that he was going to leave them, that he was going to be beaten and suffered. And they couldn't comprehend it, and it weighed them down. And that's why it says they were sleeping for sorrow. And then in 46, he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew nigh unto Jesus and kissed him. Y'all see the setup, huh? But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayed thou the Son of Man with a kiss. And when they which was about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we might with the sword? Now his disciples is up now and they're looking. So they want to have a war. They want to protect their Jesus. because they just ain't getting it, y'all. And it's so amazing that these disciples saw the miracles, walked with Jesus, taught by Jesus, and yet they couldn't comprehend it. In verse 50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed it. Y'all know who that was. That was Peter. Peter wasn't going to let it go down like that because he just didn't understand and he thought he was doing what was right. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, look who they were, y'all, which were come to him. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth not your hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus said, I know what time of day it is, and I know how y'all operate. He said, you think this your hour. He said, but I'm going to show you something. You see, Jesus asked his disciples to pray, not necessarily for him, but for themselves, because he knew that the tempter, Satan, was seeking whom he may devour. As he spoke, a multitude along with Judas, that was in this chapter in the third verse, then Satan entered Judas. That's in the scripture, y'all. Satan entered Judas, whose name, surname was Icarius, who was numbered among the 12. God knew he was going to betray him. People said, well, why he let him be a disciple? But they have to have a betrayer. And God didn't make Judas betray Jesus. God, being all-knowing, knew before the foundation of the world that Judas would be a betrayer. And God uses everything he created for his glory. Not only was he a betrayer, he was a thief. Hallelujah, y'all. And the devil was setting this up for the bad, but God turned it around for our good. It's amazing, hallelujah, that the multitude were chief priests and scribes, supposedly men of God, y'all. Not the unbelievers or the sinners. Not the Gentiles. And they came by night, which was not accepted. You see, in the Jewish religion, you can't put no charge or whole coat on somebody at night because they wouldn't trust it. You would be doing something underhanded. So here we see the men of God taken by night in whole court, double negative. And they did it because they refused, they feared the action of the people. They didn't want people in broad daylight seeing them snatch up Jesus. They didn't know what they would do. You see, Judas came up and kissed Jesus, which was the signal to let them know that Jesus was the one. In essence, Judas was selling Jesus out with the kiss, which he thought would be the kiss of death, and would receive 30 pieces of silver for his betrayal. Somebody asked me just today, why did Judas do this? You got to remember, Judas had, from when he started with Jesus, he had an ulterior motive. You see, Jesus was getting popularity, and Jesus was being heard about and everything. And you know, the people wanted Jesus to be their earthly king, and Judas probably thought that Jesus would arrive to the occasion. But at the Last Supper, Jesus said, I have to die. I'm going to go. I'm not going to be with you, and so on. Judas probably say, well, I never heard him tell a lie, so he probably really is going, even though I don't understand it, but I don't have no more use for him. And since he's going to die anyway, let me do the betrayal because I could get paid because he had a spirit of greed and he was a thief. His disciples decided to fight with the sword. And watch this, y'all. If you study the scripture, you'll see they only had two swords, but the multitude had many. You see, before Jesus could get them to realize that this battle was not theirs, but it belonged to the Lord, Peter had cut the man off. Jesus said, suffer ye thus far, as if to say, stop. Stop. Enough is enough. Now let this event take course, for I am ready to face my destiny and to fulfill my purpose, which all is a part of God's master plan. Do you know you're playing the plan of God for your life? Can you walk in it even unto death as Jesus did, knowing who you are and Christ Jesus make a difference in your life, my sisters and brothers? You see, the hour had come and the plan is beginning to unfold. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Picks up the man and healed it. Jesus was captured. He wasn't fighting. He said, here am I. He said, y'all saw me in the temple in the daytime and wouldn't touch me. But you come to me at night. So here am I. Jesus surrendered. Hallelujah. Jesus surrendered, so he was captured. And look what happened. All of his disciples left him to face what was about to happen alone because of fear. Y'all know what happened. Because Peter was hiding around the people, and they say he was one of the disciples, and he swear he wasn't, and three times the cock crowed. They had dispersed because of fear. God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But they just didn't get it, y'all. But before it was all over, they got it. Everything that Jesus had taught them came to their memory. That's why you got to keep studying even when you don't understand it, because the Holy Spirit will bring it to memory and help you to put precepts upon precepts, cross the T's and dot the I's. But you got to keep studying. You got to keep showing up. Jesus is alone. He was ready to face his destiny that God ordained in his master plan. Just as God has given each one of us a destiny with a purpose. And besides that, all the provisions needed by us to accomplish it are included. But you got to believe it to receive it. And as I close tonight with this last sentence, I encourage all of us to do as Jesus did. When the rubber met the road and he talked to his father, he made the decision to say, not my will, but thy will be done. We got to let God have his way. And whatever God does is perfect. Believe me, it is. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, any questions or concerns? Anybody have anything to talk about Jesus? If there's no comments, questions, or concerns, at this time we could have our benediction. Anyone would like to do a benediction, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, I'll go with my faithful, and it's appropriate for everything because it's the essence that God is asking us to do. 2 Peter 3:18. And the scriptures read that we should grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen, amen, amen. So you got to grow. And you got to have true knowledge of God. How can you trust somebody you don't know? And how can you get where you need to go if you don't grow? And that's it for tonight. Again, I thank God for each and every one of you. And if it's your desire and the will of God, next Wednesday night. But until then, it is my prayer that each and every one of us have a great night rest. God wants us to rest, and we have the ability to be able to rest because we can rest on what Jesus Christ has already done, y'all. There's no condemnation for those who love God. Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe. God said, take all your cares and put them on me because I care for you. If you do all of that, then you can truly rest. Just like Jesus had to let them realize that the battle was not theirs. Rest in what's about to happen because I'm ready to face my destiny. So until next week, everybody be blessed. Good night.